didn't know, but God helping me, that is what my plans are. So shall we pray? Almighty and loving Father, we want to thank you so much because your word is truth. Your word gives us assurance. Your word encourages us. Your word teaches us. Your word helps us when we go through difficult situations in life to know how to approach you, because you know everything. We sang, you are the Alpha and the Omega. We worship you, O our Lord and our King. And so, Lord, as we declare that you know the beginning from the end, you know the end from the beginning, Lord, help us when we go through these situations in life, that you would help us as we continue in our walk in deeper relationship with you, our King and our Lord. Thank you for this morning. We worship you. We adore you. We encourage our lives to magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want to use just a very short psalm to illustrate how David the king, how David the warrior, and how David the man of God has been able to cope with situations in life. Just like I said, it is not a sin to go through these difficult situations. We can be in that situation either because we are there by mistake, either because we have caused the problem, or we are just there as receivers of difficult situations in life that we are not even responsible for. I was just listening to messages from Nigeria, and the statement that came, which really touched my heart, in my state, the university where the state is where Boko Haram operates, and these guys were just university lecturers doing their day-to-day work, and some people among the university who don't like them because they are Christians, when they went out for operation, the Boko Haram went and captured them. They have been in their captivity now for 4 days, and we don't know the circumstances. They have released a video telling the whole world, telling the whole people in Nigeria that needs to do something about, and behold, there is nothing happening. In such a situation, just because they are Christians, they didn't create the problem, but they find themselves in that type of situations. And we find ourselves falling into such difficult situations that we might not even be responsible for. So if you have your Bibles, and if you don't have, I've asked them to put it on the overhead. I'm reading from NIV. It's not the new NIV, it's the older version of the NIV. Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And I will read. It says, I cried aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell him my trouble. When my spirit groans, faith within me, it is you who knows my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, no one cares for my life. I cry out, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion, in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness for me. We've been singing, the Lord is good, the Lord is great. Great is his name and greatly to be praised. Why did David, the writer, wrote this? He is one that is expressing himself. The background of this study, of this story, is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verses 1 and 2. I will not go through that story, but if you have time, you can go through it. I briefly, because of time factor. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontent gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. This is the background of the story. This story, or this particular two verses, reflected an outcome that came before this situation. I'm just giving you the background. If you remember the Judah community, they were fighting the Philistines, all the other tribes of the nation in that area. And David came because they couldn't face them. The king himself couldn't face them. We know the story of the fight between David and Goliath. That's the story. He was successful in defeating Goliath, and the crowd of the community were praising God and praising him because he came not with his own power. He came with 5 stones and defeated Goliath, and the crowd were singing 10,000 and 10,000 David defeated and only 10,000 the king defeated. Just because of anger and jealousy, the king Saul was busy, not happy, and wanting to kill who? David. Who is going to take over the rulership of that kingdom? There is also his son, the son of David, and the son of Saul, Jonathan. Jonathan and David were friends. And he knew his father wanted to kill him. So David started running from one place to another. Sometimes when we are in difficulties, the Lord may not remove us out of this difficult situation, but he will open a door, a way, or somehow, somewhere, because we are all individuals, God will deal with us differently. And as soon as he opens the gate, he will tell you, take your heels, run for your life. That's the only way he would want to rescue you from that situation. And for David, the kings and the prophets of that area were telling him, run. And he heeded their comment. And he was running from one place to another, hiding in the cave. The verse 142 of Psalm, which we read, this was the experience he was having at that time. And that was where he was in the cave and was praying this prayer. He was in problem. He was in difficulties. He was finding it difficult to cope. And the Word of God tells us that there are certain principles that we need. When I was looking through this, it touches my heart because I have gone through a lot of problems. But I have not used some of these principles. And the Word of God is telling us this is a challenge for each one of us. That is the message. What are the principles when you go through difficult situations in life? Which is not if, but when. And that is a reality. It's part of our survival of fittest. The Bible didn't tell us that we would go through this period or through our life as bed of roses. Sometimes we'll have a little bit of pricking here, pricking there. We'll have a little bit of obstacles here and obstacle there. And some of the obstacles, we might not really want to create it. It might just be there, as I have given you an illustration of these Nigerian guys. So the first principle is found in verse 1 of 142 of the Psalm. If you go back to it, verse 1 says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord of mercy. First of all, he knows that the Lord is a Lord of mercy. Knowing that he is the Lord of mercy has not removed him from that problem, but is a knowledge. And the Bible tells us that when we know the truth will do what? Will set us free. Set us free from salvation. If we know we are sinners, we come to him for repentance. Knowing that will set us free. We are on the road to salvation. In this particular situation, he cried out. What is crying out? There is no any spirituality in defining it. It is as he says. He was in difficult situation. Sometimes I give you, my wife knows that, when I'm in trouble, I find it difficult to cry because I internalize it. That's the only way I think I can cope. But that is not the solution. The Word of God says, cry out. Why do we have to cry out? We need to cry out because the person we are crying out to knows everything about it. It is not only crying out, but we can cry out to somebody we trust. We can cry out to a friend. We can cry out to our spouses. We can cry out to our families. We can cry out to the pastor. We can cry out to anybody that we have that confidence and assurance. Why do we do that? Because by crying out, you are expressing how you feel about the situation. Because nobody knows the situation you are going through. I will not know the situation you are going through. Nobody knows the situation you are going through. You are the only one that knows the situation you are going through. So talking to somebody who is your confidant will give you a little bit of burden taking. You would now share that burden. As you share that burden, what happens? There is a little relief. But above all, he is not crying to somebody, because we will see later that even though he is in that difficulty, there were 400 people around him, warriors, yet he didn't see them. Because when you are in trouble, sometimes you don't see anybody. You only think about yourself. You only think that the problem is you alone. You only think it isolates you. And when it isolates you, then you feel completely down and low. And I have gone through that many, many times. Going down and low is not the problem. It's not a sin. In fact, that is the only verse that defines how do you go low in your relationship with either your friend, your family, your church, or your work colleague. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, listen to my cry, for I am desperate need. I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Sometimes when we are in difficulty, we don't even know how to solve that problem, because they are big problems. They are magnified problems that we ourselves cannot manage it. And that's how he felt. He felt really very low. Even though he was surrounded with all these warriors, he was really depressed. He was down. And there are a lot of examples in the Word of God that tells us about men of God, people that we can look onto and use them as example, going such a difficult situation. One good example is Wesley, the preacher. Sometimes he feels so down for whatever reason that he has to isolate himself for 2 or 3 months away from his preaching schedule. Charles Wesley did that. It's part of his legacy. What happens? He goes to a secluded place and think about what he is going through and reflect it with God. Sometimes we find Jesus secluding himself, going to the mountains to pray and seek more intervention from his Father in heaven. Why can't we do that? Why can't I do that? Because of the fact that we think we can solve our problem by ourselves. We think that the problems we know the solution to. We think by getting a small dose of medication to make us feel a little bit better is the solution. That is not the solution. The solution is in the Word of God. And we find later that he moved from verses 1 to verses 7. That's the whole psalm. In verses 7, he was now praising God. How did he move from that fierce situation to verses 7? We will see later as we go through it. So the first principle is to verbalize. He verbalized his feeling to Word of God, to God himself. That is a principle. When we verbalize how we feel to God, then we are put in our position that we cannot solve the problem ourselves, but only God can solve it. We've sung it. God is a great God. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He knows everything about us. So why can't we? I find it difficult. Do you find it difficult? It's a principle that we can learn. I am learning from it, verbalizing it, saying it, just like I meet my friend and say, hello, today I'm just low. This is the reason why I am low. I don't feel really great. Then he would not tell me, oh, sorry, or he will give me an advice. That is the beginning of solving my problem or solving the difficulties I'm going through. So we need to learn that. If there's anything you want to pick as part of your relationship with God, is to learn that simple statement. Tell him as it is. And there are a lot of Bible illustrations which I cannot go through because I want to make it as short as possible. There are many verses. David himself in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me. We know this background of the story. That was the story when he committed adultery. And he is praying for forgiveness. He verbalized it. He says it. The second principle, just to go quickly, there are only three principles, so I won't take time. And the fourth one is just reflecting on the what he did. So the second principle is visualizing the problem. How do we visualize the problem? How do we show how big it is? He did it. And look at verse 2. Verse 2, he says, I pour out my complaint. Sometimes when we pray, it's so depressing. Because of what? We are saying this, we are saying that. It's very depressing. He poured out his complaint. We don't know all the details of the complaint, but one of the basic complaints is Saul, whom he had no anything negative about, this king is looking after his life, pursuing him to do what? To kill him, to destroy him. That's one complaint. God, you allowed me to go and face Goliath. You made me have success over Goliath on behalf of your people. And now that success is making the king himself wanting to kill me. Has he done wrong? But people talked to the king, and the king felt what? He felt like he is no king. What is the suitable word? He is like jealous of David. So he wants to eliminate him. People might not want to eliminate us, but they might want to block any of our success route. If you are in the workplace, you are a believer, and somebody knows you stand for the Lord, somebody there would want to block. Not because you are bad, but just because you own the Lord in your life, they would want to frustrate you. So that is a complaint. When you are in such situation, you didn't cause the situation. It's your faithfulness in your workplace that other of your colleagues may feel they are not happy with how faithful you are. Tell God. Don't tell your staff. Don't tell your workmate. Tell him. Complain to God. God, I'm not happy because of X, Y, Z. Why are you doing that? He says that. He says, complain before him. And before him, I tell my troubles. Say it. Visualize it. Tell him how big the thing is. By the time we are expressing the problem to God, what happens? We know that God is greater. Another story, which we all know, we know the Israelites were going through, and Moses told the Israelites, go to that city of Amalekite and go and spy. Yeah? And the whole 12 tribes went and spied. If I had time, I want to go through each of the tribe leaders. And we see. But two of the people of that congregation of the tribe went into the land, spied into the land, and then gave come to bring their report. We know the story. When they brought the report, 10 of them said, oh, these are giant, and we look like grasshoppers. Yeah? When Caleb and Joshua came, what did they say? Yeah, they are this, they are that, they are that. But our God is greater, and our God has promised that he will give us the land. So the two are comparing differently. The resources they have, they are using their resources, the 10 other reporters, giving their resources in relation to the problem. But Caleb and Joshua know that their God is greater, and therefore they use God as their resources, and they know that God is greater than the problem, because the problem is not their own. The problem is God's problem, because he has promised. And each one of us, God has promised something in our lives. Promise of success, promise he will never leave us nor forsake us, promise he will be with us even when we go the valley situation. That's why I want us to remember Psalm 23. He had that type of problem. David himself, he wrote it. And because he wrote it, we can use that principle. So he visualized it. And when he visualized it, he made God the greater. And when we praise God and worship God and say how great he is, then we would now begin to encourage ourselves that the problem we are going through, even though we as individuals cannot solve it, God himself will solve it for us. Because he says it. So sometimes the devil wants us to forget about how God has promised he would lead us, he would guide us. The third point is for us to understand that the word of God is there for us. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. Thy word is light to my what? Feet. Yeah, we should know those short verses in the word of God. They guide us. So in verses 3 to 5, before he now says how depressed he was, I read it. When my spirit groans faint within me, it is you who know my way. When we are going through these difficult situations in life, God knows. So the fact that we know that God knows it is enough to tell us that the solution is not in us, but the solution is in God. So in fact, half of the problem is solved. By the time we reach verse 7, then we say hallelujah, because it is God's doing. And that is why when we go through difficult situations, we should place a mark. Oh, we should celebrate it. Celebrating it not because of our successes, but celebrating it because God has seen us through. So when we bring prayer requests and our prayers are answered, never forget to come back and thank God, appreciating what the Lord has done. And for those of your confidant, that you have shared this problem to them, go and tell them. Because it is not going to only also please you, it will encourage them in their walk in the Lord. When they go through difficult situations in life, they will do similar thing, encourage one another. He says, in the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. God, now he is expressing the fact that, well, I'm going through this difficult situation. Even though I have isolated myself, even though I have expressed every difficult situation, he is now realizing and knowing that God knows. So when we know that God knows what we are going through, half of the job is done. Why? Because it's no longer our problem. It is God's problem. Because he says it and he will never tell a lie. He would always do it for us. I feel that is an encouragement for myself, an encouragement for each one of us listening, if it will help us to stand. He says, look to my right and see no one is concerned for me. He looks right and left. He was in the midst of 4,000 or 400. I can't remember the figure now. And yet, 400. And yet, he says no one is around him. Do you find yourself in such a situation? I do. Sometimes when I go through difficult situation, I just feel I'm the only one. And I just want to solve it myself. But there's a principle there. Verbalize it. Make a picture of it to God. Know that God knows what you are going through. And that's verses 1, verses 2, verses 3 and 5. In 6, he showed his depressed situation. David was depressed in this situation. Because he says he's just too low about it. He doesn't know what to do about it. Yeah? And in verses 7, that's the climax. But I don't want us to only stop at verses 7. Let's look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57 is where I would like to just read through. After David has gone through this situation in his valley and the experience that he has shown, if you want me to summarize it, verbalizing it, visualizing it, telling him as it is, complaining to him, knowing that it is God who understands what he is going through, he was able to sing this song. And if you look at Psalm 57, if you look at verses 5, what does it say? Can we read it? Be exalted, O God, above heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. We used to sing that as a chorus. Be exalted. Why has he reached that point of praise? Is his song. Verses 1 to 4 is verse 1 of the song. The chorus is verses 5. And then verses 6 to 7 to 10 is verse 2. And verses 11 is the chorus. Do you want to put it up so that we can all sing that chorus? We're not going to sing it, but we would read it and we would see his expression in verses 7 of 142 Psalm, where he no longer verbalize it, no longer visualize it, no longer complain about it. What did he do in verses 7? He says, set me free from my prison. So he now realized he's in a prison. He's in a cave, but this problem makes him to be isolated, just alone. That I might praise your name, set me out from my seclusion, that I might praise your name. He has gone through those principal steps, and now he is declaring, I will praise your name despite what I'm going through. To reach that stage requires courage, confidence, faith, and everything that you can get up. Because sometimes when we are in difficult situation, we find it difficult to praise God. And praise is the key. When we praise Him, we exalt Him above all others. And when we exalt our God above all others, it gives us and gives God the confidence that, yeah, my son, my daughter, now you are ready to receive the blessing. What did he say in the last? Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness. He realizes our God is a great, good God. Our God is a great, good God. It's a chorus. Okay? So Psalm 57, verses 1, if we find it. Verses 1. Okay, somebody read verse 2. Yeah, somebody read verse 2. Yeah. Continue. Somebody read verse 3.
He was sent from heaven and saved me. He removed the one who is pursuing me. God will send out his loving kindness and his truth.
Verse 4. Somebody. Okay, he says all this just to record what he's going through. And we all sing verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, what? O God, above heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Can somebody now, we go through verses 6 to 10, and then we'll all read number 11. Yes, number 6. Put it on the wall so that somebody will read it without.
They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen.
Okay, verse 7. Someone, yeah.
My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music.
Good. Somebody.
Wake up, my glory. Wake up, lute and harp. I will wake up, O God.
Okay. Somebody. Next. Nine. Okay, the last verse, 10.
Thy mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds.
Let's all sing together the chorus. Be exalted, O God, above all the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. When we go through difficulties, can we remember these verses or this chorus and say it as we mean it? And as we say it, the Lord will give us the courage to go through. And when we have gone through